This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today you're going to hear from a young man that is full of the Holy Spirit, and God has given him an incredible prophetic gift. He's only 36 years old. He pastors in Indiana. A lot of you have not heard of Chris Reed, but he's starting to be recognized around the country, mainly by Christian leaders, as a young man who God has his hand on. I had the privilege of getting to know him recently. A couple of leaders that I highly respect told me about him, and I reached out to him and asked him if he would do a podcast. One of the leaders told me that Chris was half his age and had double the understanding that he had, which I thought was a real compliment. Of course, it may have been a little bit of hyperbole, but it just gives you an idea of what people are saying about my guest today, Chris Reed. I found him to be a very humble man, and I believe that you'll hear that in our interview. I wanted to find out a little bit about his gift. It's pretty incredible. I don't want to build it up too much, but you want to stay tuned and hear this very important conversation.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, Chris Reed, I've been looking forward to talking to you. I've just gotten to know you. You're a very interesting person. And Mike Bickle, my longtime friend, was the first one who brought you to my attention. And since then, I've watched several videos of you ministering. And for a very young man, you have an incredible gift. So let's get acquainted. I just want you to tell me and my listeners, you know, kind of who you are, where you're from, how you got into the ministry. Just kind of bring us up to date. And then I want to talk about the prophetic and how it is used in the body of Christ and how it affects people's lives. So start with where you're from.
So I'm from Bloomington, Indiana, and I spent the first 25 years of my life there. I started ministering at 14 years old, actually preaching consistently. And I ministered exclusively in a particular Pentecostal denomination up until I was 27. And so my ministry was pretty much exclusively in that one particular movement. When I was 25, I moved 3 hours north to where I am now in Peru, Indiana, which is about an hour north of Indianapolis, straight up Highway 31. I started here at the end of 2009. I've been here 11 and a half years. I started with 7 adults in the church. And after about pastoring here a year and a half, I left the denomination and just for several years, focused on building up the local church. Because when I left the denomination that I was in, I didn't have a lot of ministry friends per se outside of that movement. So I just kind of focused on pastoring. And then, I began to have some incredible prophetic encounters in 2011, 2012, where I had these nighttime visitations from the Lord. And it was the best way I can describe it. It went on for about a year. Some weeks, there were several nights a week this happened. I would feel literally volts of electricity go through my body. I would wake up and just know that there was a supernatural divine being in the room. And from that, it was just like I started, when I would be ministering, I would just know things about people. And then over time, it became, turning into visions and hearing details of people's lives, things they've prayed, dreams, which they've dreamed in detail. Just secrets of the heart, things like that. And ultimately, a lot of times it's connected with divine healing. But in 2018, I would say, probably 2019, I became more connected with the broader charismatic community. And in 2020, things just really took off even in the midst of COVID-19. And so, yeah, I was privileged to meet Mike Bickle at Morningstar, at Rick Joyner's ministry, when he had his prophetic roundtable, and Mike and I hit it off really well. And I thank God for him and his ministry and his influence. So yeah, that's a very summarized version of it all.
Very summarized, and it's an interesting odyssey. We have no reason to criticize your former denomination, but it's known at least to be pretty legalistic, pretty ingrown, so to speak. And, you know, a number of people have sort of come out from that. You know, I've just been familiar with it through years, and actually had friends in that denomination. But, you know, you're a relatively young man, still in your 30s. You have a wife, yep, and 36. Family. So tell us about your family.
So I have a wonderful wife, Missy. She is prophetically gifted as well. She's an incredible writer. We homeschool, and we have six children, age ranging from 16 down to 2. And so I'm full-time pastoring here. We have we don't have a big church. We probably average around 250 on the weekends, 250. And then I also have an itinerant ministry and get out and minister some. But she's an incredible minister herself, and teaches our kids and helps keep me in line. So, kudos to her. She's a tremendous blessing, and so are all of our kids.
And of course, our listeners can't see you, but you're a little taller than normal. And being from Indiana, you know, the Hoosiers are famous for basketball. Did you play basketball growing up?
You know, I've played a lot of basketball, but I never really played for high school or collegiate teams. I honestly, just at a very young age, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 8 years old, felt the calling to pulpit ministry at about 12. And so even at that age, hearing the audible voice of God for the first time at 12 years old, and beginning having supernatural encounters with God, I was, you know, just a kid sitting on the very front row of every church service, and the end of the row closest to the pulpit. I at that age, 12, 13, 14, and up until I had ministered over 200 churches by the time I was 18. And so I just, you know, focused on the Lord and ministry at such a young age. It's not that I don't enjoy sports. I do, but, you know, just the work of the Lord was just all consuming, you know, of my life at that early age. And so do I enjoy it? Yes. Have I played? Yes, but not per se for teams.
You know,
but I am 6'7", by the way.
I was wanting you to tell my listeners that. So thank you. You know, you and I were both influenced by Paul Kane. Of course, in my 4-decade long career as a Christian journalist, we interacted with Paul in many ways. We're not here to talk about Paul other than, you know, he did go through kind of a controversial time in his ministry. But, you know, toward the end, he mentored young men like you and had quite an influence on you. Could you tell me about it?
Yeah. So at the end of 2017, mind you, now this prophetic gifting had been working for about 5-6 years in my life. And by this time I was starting to get out and minister in other churches as well as pastoring here. And so the more that happened, the less I know about a person, the better off I am, you might say, as far as ministering to people and praying for the sick. And anyway, I, at the end of 2017, I actually, it wasn't until, I don't remember if it was 2015, 2016, I learned about Paul Kane. And the reason why I learned about him was because right when this all started, back in 2011, 2012, when I left my denomination, I was actually studying the ministry of a man who died in 1965. I know you're familiar with him, William Marion Branham. And he was tremendously gifted as a prophetic voice, that really the leader of the voice of healing in the 40s and 50s. And so studying his ministry when all this began, then learning about Paul Kane and having, you know, a gifting in a very similar vein of Branham, I felt like at some point I was supposed to reach out to him. So I got his email. This is the end of 2017. So I sent him an email, and shortly after that, his personal assistant reached out to me and said, you know, Paul has been watching some of your stuff on your YouTube channel, and Chris Reed Ministries YouTube channel, and he's been, you know, just observing some of the things that you're doing, and sees someone who he believes genuinely has a prophetic gifting similar to his. And so I responded, reached out. I'm still great friends with this man to this day. Dan Reese is his name. But anyway, I went out in February of 2018 and got to meet Paul in person, had an incredible time with him. You know, even on a one-on-one basis, he was still very gifted at the end of his life, just in some of the most everyday natural experiences. You know, he seemed to have this great gifting. And so he died, of course, a year later in February of 2019, but I probably talked on the phone with him two or three times a month, the last year of his life. And the last phone call I had with him was around New Year's, 2018 into 2019. And actually, the only call I ever recorded with him, or anyone for that matter, I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to record it. And it was the last call I had with him before his health began to majorly decline. And I'm so glad that I did, and had a great conversation with him. And so he passed away in February of 2019. I was so fortunate to be able to, as a gift was given me, the Bible that he ministered from the last 20 some years of his life, with his name engraved on the front of it. And so, you know, I'm thankful for that connection. There's actually a video of him praying over me and asking for the Lord to impart anything the Lord has ever used him with and for, you know, into my life. And so Paul was a very special man. I am thankful that I got to connect with him. And it certainly was the beginning of my exposure, so to speak, to the broader charismatic world, especially after he died. It just seemed like something began to release. And by word of mouth, you know, since then, just working for the Lord, pastoring my local church here, but traveling ministry as well, and getting to speak into the lives of governors and other higher up leaders, even than that, you know, just because it's been, the Lord has shown me, this is all documented. Even when, if you remember, for instance, last summer, last July, when President Trump was giving a speech in the White House press briefing room. I don't know if you remember the story or not, but he was giving a speech and someone shot at the White House, and you actually saw it on the news. The Secret Service came in and told him to come out. They actually took him out on live TV to protect him. Well, a day and a half before that, I actually had a vision of that very thing happening, and this is all time stamped and everything. And I called people through social media on my various social media pages to prayer, because I saw a shot being taken at the White House, and asking people to pray for these plans to be diverted and stopped. And then it happened exactly, you know, a day and a half later. And then also just the Lord being able to give me insight, even, you know, on in the nations of the world, and events that are important enough to God's heart, you know, to call people into prayer. For instance, I prophesied Boris Johnson to become the Prime Minister of Great Britain almost a year before he became the Prime Minister, when it wasn't even thought of him running. And all this stuff is time stamped, and when I made these prophecies, and it's that, and then of course personal ministry, and that I just thank the Lord for, and it humbles me. It doesn't in any way make me feel superior. If anything, that's the last thing. I'm just humbled that God has been kind enough to me to let me grow in this, and in any way I can help the body of Christ be edified and to grow into the gifts of the Spirit in their life as well.
Well, that's a beautiful, humble attitude. I commend you for it. You're talking about Paul Kane, or us both talking about Paul Kane, makes me think of my own story. He was a very special man. Of course, we found out he was very flawed, but we know that God uses flawed leaders all through the Bible, and the times that I've written about Donald Trump, and the fact that I believe, at least, and many others, that God raised him up and had his hand on his life. You know, he's like a wrecking ball, but it's like God used him. And I always made the point that, you know, God uses flawed leaders. But I got to know Paul Kane in 1990. In fact, I remember it very well, because there was a conference that actually went from New Year's Eve 89 over into the first day or two of 1990. It was the same time I met Mike Bickle, or I should say it was the first time I got to know him. I think Mike and I remember meeting one time before, and it was a large conference. And, you know, I'd heard about Paul Kane. I didn't know what to expect, but he called me out of the crowd, and I thought, what in the world's going on? He had me stand up. He said he could see me as a teenager. In fact, I think he said I was 14 years old, standing in a house looking out the Venetian blinds at a land with a lake. And he mentioned the number 722. I don't remember exactly, you know, I did not record it, of course, but he said I was God's maverick, and God somehow had a plan for me. I was about your age at the time, actually, now that I think about it. The amazing thing is that I grew up in Lakeland, Florida. I lived on a street called Venetian Avenue, and our house number was 722. I was absolutely stunned, because there was no way in the natural he would have known that. A few family members would have remembered that, but he didn't even know these people. And, you know, I'd never thought of myself as God's maverick, but that was probably a pretty good description of my life. And I found it very encouraging. I didn't really do much with it. I mean, what do you do with a prophecy like that? But those are encouraging. And when Christians get a word like that, if they're spirit-filled, they usually find it very special. There are some parts of the body of Christ that kind of find it creepy and are pretty critical about it. But then there's a certain kind of prophecy, or even people that go around with the ministry, that, at least it's been my observation, they kind of tickle people's ears. They kind of tell them what they want to know. You know, the Lord's going to bless you, and, you know, whatever. So I believe that when the prophetic is genuine, it's really very special. But, you know, it's kind of like miracles. You know, you mentioned that before, healing miracles. In Pentecostal circles, there are many genuine miracles. I was healed at a Mario Murillo meeting years ago with a bad back. I had injured my back when I was a kid, and I would just get terrible back pain. And I have been essentially free of that the rest of my life. So I know it's true, but sometimes if a miracle doesn't happen, you know, and suddenly, you know, I mean, not that they fake it, but it's like the healings become, you know, healing of a headache or something. I mean, that could be a miracle, I guess, but, you know, we don't really see people being healed of cancer and all kinds of other things. So tell me what you evaluate this. I mean, I know people must judge you. I'm sure that you've seen a lot of the things that are maybe troublesome in some ways. I'm just interested in your insights, actually having that kind of ministry and being subject to a certain amount of criticism yourself.
Well, Steve, I appreciate the question. Yeah, I've, you know, just in the time that I've been functioning in prophetic ministry, And I always have, to this point, I've looked back over my whole life and I recognize these things happening even years ago, even when I was a child, but I didn't have a grid for them, you know, to understand or interpret what I was getting. And since then, developing into this type of ministry, I'm very conscious of there being critics out there, and rightfully so. I understand where to try the spirits. And especially in the digital age we're living in, you know, I think people are naturally suspicious, but how I've always dealt with that, I've always asked the Lord that amidst giving things that could be known about someone, not necessarily by any means to the one giving the word, but like, let me give you an example. Like, for instance, when Jesus gave a word of knowledge to the woman at the well and said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you've said, well, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. You know, we know that was supernatural in John 4. But I wonder if the people alive in that time or in that area could have talked. I wonder how many would have said, number one, he's doing that by the power of the occult, number one. Or number two, somebody might say, well, maybe he knew people that knew her and they told him about her previous five marriages and that she was living with a man now that she's not, you know, that, so insinuating that he knew it by some natural knowledge or, you know, finding something out. There is a nature of things in prophetic words that, let's be honest, could be known, not necessarily at all to the one giving the prophecy, but could be known. I mean, if I call somebody out in a crowd that I've never met before and say, you've got cancer, I'm sure there's a lot of people that know that person has cancer, but it doesn't mean that I knew it. So I always ask the Lord, amidst giving the words that could be known, even though I don't know them, give me words that no one could know, absolutely could not know in any way, shape, or form. And so, for instance, the first night I was at IHOP at Mike Bickle's ministering, before I gave one word in the larger audience, I'm sure there was probably 1,500, 2,000 people in there. I asked every first-time visitor to stand up, and I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to do that. Every first-time visitor to stand up. In other words, number one, being able to say, okay, there's no way I could have known them being associated with that church before, number one. Number two, then when I felt led by the Holy Spirit, I called this person out and I said, do we know each other? Are we connected in life in any way? She says, no. Well, then the Lord begins to give me a vision of, I believe it was her brother or brother-in-law, I can't remember off the top of my head now, but about his drug addiction, and that the Lord was going to break that off of her family from a generational thing, and his salvation would be miraculous. I also saw she had been in a car wreck and that she had agitated issues with her back. And then, you know, so I spoke healing over that. And then the Lord showed me the name, I think, of her husband. I can't remember if it was a phone number or an address, but just the Lord reveals those things to build people's faith. And then there is a release of grace that comes through that. Well, she confirmed we didn't know each other, number one. Number two, she was a first-time visitor. And so I asked the Lord to do things like that. And also things that, like speaking into someone's life prophetically. And the Lord revealed to me something about their family, you know, about a family member that's not connected to the people in any way, shape, or form, and about God reconciling that relationship. And then obviously everyone around them that knows them says, we didn't know about this. Or a dream that they had, calling out a dream with specific details that they have said they have not shared publicly. On and on and on I could go. But ultimately, amidst the words that people could criticize, there's just some that cannot. I mean, you've got to be really agenda or cynic, agenda driven, or just some kind of level of cynicism that would cause someone, either it doesn't fit their theology, or else number two, they think if they're not doing that type of ministry, then it probably can't be done. So they're, you know, critical of others. But regardless, we just have to stay in our lane. We have to be people of integrity. God wants a prophetic community with integrity, honesty, to be genuine. And even in times, as great and outstanding as prophetic ministry can be in certain situations, there's nothing wrong with simply saying, I don't have anything today. Instead of trying to come up with something or just start guessing or whatever, it's okay to just say, you know what, I don't have anything. And I think that people appreciate that sometimes more than the prophetic word itself. That's the first thing. The last thing I'll say, one of the most fantastic miracles that I've seen through prophetic revelation, just, and this proves to me that there is a grace. It's not just about revealing details or information about people's lives, but that it actually releases a grace to complete a work in their lives. I was ministering in Alabama some time back, and a woman was there who part of her heart had never developed. There were actually several parts of her heart that she had learned to live with her whole life, never had. And some of the parts that she had that were there weren't working. Like, for instance, there was a major valve leak that every time her heart would pump, she would hear the gushing of the blood pumping. And I found out this later, but she came to this meeting and I didn't know her. She couldn't walk more than five steps without sitting down just because of oxygen and loss of blood and such. She was near death. And this, it had gotten worse progressively over time, and it was at its worst point. And I called her out of the crowd. I think the Lord gave me the names of her children and gave me a P.O. box number, which shocked me, but I can only give what I see. And it was the P.O. box number of a house that her and her late husband, an address that they had when they were living together, when, of course, they were married, but he died 10 years prior in a four-wheeler accident, and I believe was hit and killed by a train. And from that moment on, a spirit of oppression and depression came over her, and it almost seemed to begin working in her health and deteriorating her health. And when I spoke those words, and she told me that was the last address that my husband and I had, and that's where we were living when he was killed, I said, well, then that is the reason why the Lord revealed that, is because that was the place where this circumstance and situation with your health began to deteriorate even further. And she described it this way. When I gave that word, it was like an egg broke over the top of her head, and a healing warmth went over her whole body. The next day, she left the conference and reported that she walked 5 miles along the beach. And this is the most incredible, undeniable part. She had pictures and images, a test done on her heart prior to that, where there were actually parts and pieces of her heart that were never there. They never grew and developed in her. After the healing and the prophetic word about her husband and his death and all of that, was the root of her declining health, she was healed when that spirit that tried to work through her husband's tragic death wanted to destroy her as well in her health. She went back and got images done of her heart after that. And not only was her heart and the valves no longer leaking, but the parts of her heart before and after that were never there were miraculously there. I mean, you could compare the before and after imaging, and it was drastically different. And when I saw that, when I heard that, I thought, you know, this one, this shouldn't be unique. And I believe that we're going to see, as the world gets darker, there's going to be a remnant of people who rise up in the power of God, and their light is going to be darker, or brighter rather, as the world gets darker. And we're going to see this more and more as the fear of the Lord returns to the church. And I believe a Luke 4:18 anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, open the blind eyes, recovery of sight to the blind, and deliverance to the oppressed, and getting back everything lost through the year of Jubilee. I think that's the season we're in. And that was a word that I gave at IHOP. And of course, I also released it at Morningstar as well last week and to my church here in Indiana. And I believe that we're going to begin to see just based on some prophetic signs and wonders and confirmation, we're going to really begin to see an increase of the supernatural simultaneously to the fear of the Lord coming into the church.
Well, that is so interesting. And of course, it's why I wanted to interview you. And we could talk about this probably for hours, but I wanted to kind of introduce you to my podcast. We'll do an article, of course, on charismanews.com. And hopefully we can talk to you later. There's so much more we can go into. But as we wrap up this podcast, I want to give you the last word and also to ask you if you would tell people how they could find out more about Chris Reed, your ministry, and the various resources that you have online and on YouTube.
Well, as far as resources go, I'm actually haven't published the first book, but I am writing it. And it's going to be talking a lot about the seven spirits of God, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and just the return of that for a Luke 4:18 mandate release in the earth. But if people want to connect with me, currently our church's website, and they can email on here, and every connection to my ministry is on here. It's www.revivalcenterperu.com, revivalcenterperu.com, revivalcenterperu.com. And if they want to see some of the teachings, there's videos on my YouTube channel, and they can just look it up and subscribe if they want. It's Chris Reed Ministries. That's the name of the YouTube channel, and there's a lot of different prophetic teachings, also different broadcasts I've been on, different platforms, and also me prophesying and ministering to people through words of knowledge and prophecy. So it's been a pleasure to be on this with you, and I'm humbled that you asked me to join you.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I believe that it was one of the more interesting I've done. I hope you'll share it with others. As you share it and as you keep coming back every day to hear the next episode of the Strang Report, it keeps growing. I'm very gratified that we've just passed 10.2 million downloads thanks to you. Thank you for listening today to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.